Hello, this is the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 4th of December 2020. The extracts for the Hampshire Chronicle this week have been edited by Tom and Vara Williams and will be read and presented by Northrop Tracy.
Hello.
And me, Keith Vincent. Sorry, we're getting in a tangle over this. We've stepped in at the last minute. The first main headline story this week is Tougher Tier in Fight Against Virus. Winchester is beginning to emerge from the second national lockdown, but it must now adhere to stricter rules. This week, the four-week national lockdown made way for a new tier system in which Winchester and Hampshire as a whole are in a higher risk level than they previously were. Excuse me. The county is now in tier two, having been in tier one pre-lockdown, which has put a ban on household mixing, but groups of up to six can meet outside. Gyms and non-essential shops are able to reopen, but pubs and restaurants can only serve alcohol with a substantial meal. The previous 10 p.m. curfew has been extended to 11 p.m, though last orders are called at 10 p.m. Limited numbers will be allowed to sports events and live performances. Entertainment venues such as the Theatre Royal are able to welcome audiences again, but at 50% capacity. Last week's Tier 2 announcement came as a shock for many, with some businesses disappointed with the government's decision. The Wanston Arms in Wanston near Sutton Scotney will not be able to open as it does not offer food, which has left landlord Matt Todd asking whether they can survive. Speaking to Sky News, he said, "If there is a way, we'll find a way. I tell you, who is going to bail us out from this is the community. The customers are saying, well, you're not getting any help from the government now, Matt. We'll have to try and help. We've got staff, people who are coming and helping and working for free and taking the deliveries to people's houses. There's a real disappointment, and I'm sad to say more and more frustration, which I don't think is fair on the community." Despite most shops being able to reopen, the director of Winchester Business Improvement District is unhappy with the government's decision. Paul Spencer said, "In Tier 2, lots of businesses will be able to reopen, but this is still not the news many were hoping for, and particularly those working in the hospitality sector. As local people, we must all do our bit to support the city's business community. We're so fortunate to have fantastic food and drink, shopping and services in Winchester. So let's show how much we value them and make sure we all support local businesses this festive season." Every 14 days, this tier will be reviewed in a regional lockdown system that will stay in place until March. On Tuesday night, MPs voted for the new system, with Meon Valley MP Flick Drummond backing the government, but Winchester MP Steve Brine joined Labour in abstaining from the vote. Speaking in Parliament ahead of the vote, Mr. Brine said, "I need to hear from the government how this will change in the next 2 weeks. And, to echo the calls in this respect today from many speakers on both sides of the House, I need to see a much more localised approach rather than a regional approach. My constituents are perfectly capable of knowing where they live, be that Winchester, Alresford or Chandlers Ford in the Eastleigh Borough, and of course we would go into that arrangement with our eyes wide open. We would know full well that it could work in our favour if our rate went down, every bit as much as it could work against us if the rate went up. My message to ministers is, please treat us as grown-ups. Involve us in your decision-making, because by that route, you might just find we're able to help build some consent and compliance with whatever it is that's decided." Mr. Brine also questioned why the restrictions should be lifted for Christmas after the Prime Minister's letter to MPs stated, "It would not take much loosening for the transmission rate to rise again." Meon Valley MP Flick Drummond said, "Being in Tier 2 is disappointing, but will ultimately save lives." Excuse me. She said, "I'm disappointed my constituency and Hampshire as a whole will move from Tier 1 to Tier 2 following the lockdown. But I do understand we are not isolated and that areas around us have higher infection rates. It's clearly a big improvement on lockdown, and it's important non-essential retail can now open next month to help get the economy moving. No mixing indoors with others is going to be tough for many considering the time of year, but we'll just have to wrap up warm and head outside to meet up socially distanced in group of six. Despite the disappointment, it's vital we adhere to the restrictions while we await a vaccine. It will save lives this winter." City Council leader Lucille Thompson hopes that Winchester will slip into Tier 1 soon. She told the Chronicle, "Together, we've all been working so hard to keep the virus at bay, and we'll continue to follow government guidelines to ensure that when the tiers are reviewed again, we're able to move into a lower tier as soon as possible. We're focusing on supporting our businesses, who have done so much to encourage local residents and visitors back to our high streets in a safe and welcoming way, and who will be disappointed that restrictions continue. As a council, we'll of course be continuing to maintain our frontline services, supporting vulnerable residents." The continued implications of COVID restrictions have already caused several retailers to disappear from our high streets, and this week Winchester was dealt a huge blow as Debenhams announced that it's set to close all its 124 stores after rescue talks collapsed. The 242-year-old department store chain said its administrators have regretfully decided to start its liquidation process while continuing to seek offers. Debenhams said it will continue to trade through its 124 UK stores and online to clear its current and contracted stocks, but it's believed that stores will close early next year. And the second headline story is finding a better way to shape the future.
No. Yes. A groundbreaking exercise to help shape the future of Winchester is nearing its end. The One Great Win project gathered views from people on how the city should evolve over the next 10 years. Unlike many similar exercises, this one was not so much about what people wanted to see, an ice rink, opera house, more car parks, but finding a better way for how the city should evolve. It will help guide the City Council over the next 10 years, and is the first such exercise for 15 years. The Winchester Vision 2030 was launched at an online event open to all on Tuesday evening. The One Great Win project has been delivered by a creative placemaking team assembled by Boyle and Summers. Richard Summers told the Town Forum last Tuesday, "The key question was, what does Winchester want? We believe we have answered that question. People want to see a city on a human scale, a place that is walkable, a 15-minute city, where everything that people need, shops, community, schools, medical services, friends, is that time away on foot. It is a city where people feel what they say and believe counts. A place where there could be not one great win, but 100 small wins." Jenny Savage of Ferrier Urbanism said, "Residents could suggest where the new housing should go, a reverse call for sites where developers put forward suggestions." Richard Easton, also of Ferrier Urbanism, said, "This vision is about how to do things rather than what to do. It's a manual about making change rather than a glossy brochure about the future." Councillors on the Town Forum, comprising Conservatives and Liberal Democrats, who commissioned the £75,000 project, welcomed the results. Council leader Lucille Thompson said, "The council needs to let go and enable the community to get on with these wins. As a council, we cannot manage everything, and we wouldn't want to do everything. We don't want to push people into things the communities do not want. The way forward is to work collaboratively with all sections of the community." Councillor Martin Todd, Lib Dem, liked the organic human scale approach. "It is how the city has developed. There's only been one successful project in Winchester that has stood the test of time, and that is the cathedral. Arguably, King Alfred did a good job with the street plan, but everything else has been organic and takes time to develop. Councillor Jamie Scott, Conservative, said, "It's an exciting way of thinking about the future. There is a big love for Winchester. A lot of people love this place." Around 50 people have been spoken to at length to get a broad cross-section of views. The exercise has been criticised. Patrick Davis, member of the City of Winchester Trust and a former city councillor, told the Town Forum in June, "I'm far from convinced that this is an appropriate expenditure of £75,000 of council taxpayers' money. It's a very gimmicky website. They want a gallery of selfies documenting the city during isolation. It doesn't seem an appropriate way of driving this Winchester vision or a way of doing sensible planning."
Thank you. That concludes the headlines. And now we continue with the death announcements. And the following deaths have been announced this week. Burwood, Laura Jane Burwood, aged 31. Hudson, Joan Mary Hudson, at home in Newent, aged 103. Lamplew, Pat Lamplew, JP, in Winchester, aged 88. Mills, Gillian Kenner Mills, at Torbay Hospital. Reed, Rosemary Jean Reed, died peacefully in Andorra, aged 99. Ruby, Joan Kathleen Ruby, died peacefully, aged 99. Smith, Geoffrey Frederick Smith, died at Flowerdown Nursing Home, aged 75. And Walker, Beryl Irene Walker, died peacefully at home, aged 92.
And it is Christian comment, written by the Reverend Philip Crinks as priest in charge of St. Faith's Parish at St. Cross in Winchester. And it's headlined, "Dear Jesus, please can I have?" The story is told of a little boy called Tom, who put a new bike on his Christmas list. His mum told him to write to Father Christmas. But Tom had been paying attention at Sunday school and had just had a starring role in the nativity play, so he said he would write to the baby Jesus. Tom went to his room and wrote, "Dear Jesus, I've been a very good boy. Please can I have a bike for Christmas?" But when he read that over, he wasn't happy with it. So he tried again. This time he wrote, "Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy most of the time. Please can I have a bike for Christmas?" But he wasn't happy with that version either. He tried a third time. "Dear Jesus, I know I could be a good boy if I tried hard. I'm sure I could try, especially if I had a new bike." But somehow he still wasn't satisfied. He decided to go for a walk and have a think. While he was out, he passed a house with a small statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the front garden. He crept in, stuffed the statue under his coat, hurried home and hid it under his bed. Then he wrote, "Dear Jesus, if you want to see your mother again, you'd better send me a bike." We say that this season, Advent, is a time of prayer for God's coming kingdom. But what kind of praying helps? Young Tom had four things right. Firstly, we've got to direct the prayer rightly. It's no use looking for make-believe help to a fairy tale jovial man with a white beard and white hair. In Christian prayer, we engage with the spiritual reality of God. So we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter of infinite power, to the Almighty Father, our Maker, in union with Jesus Christ, who came to us in humility, taught and lived justice and peace, and died and rose for our redemption. Secondly, we need to start with being honest with ourselves and God, as Tom is, about who we are and where our lives stand. Thirdly, the "I deserve it" strategy won't work, because we don't have any claim on God, however good we may have been most of the time. Fourthly, the bribery strategy won't work either. "If you just give me this, Lord, then I'll be good." God is fair, and he wants us to be good, but he's already given us what we need. Our job is to find it and accept it. If we have followed Tom thus far, recognising who can save, being honest, not pleading our merits, not bribing God, then the kingdom is in fact very close to us. Of course, we do need to know what we most deeply want. It's probably not a new bike, or at least not only a new bike, nor even all the new bikes in the world. Once we know and name our heart's desire for reconciliation with God and neighbour, the kingdom breaks in. Even if you feel you're having to wait, Tom's final approach, the ransom strategy, is not recommended.
Thank you, Noel. And now we're moving on to letters to the editor. And the first letter is from Gillian Russell, Oliver's Battery, entitled Build, Build, Build. Sir, writing as an Oliver's Battery resident, there was a small crumb of comfort to be drawn from your front page, Chronicle November the 19th, on the news of speculative proposal for a massive development between Oliver's Battery and Hursley. It was pleasing to see that our city and county councillors are united in their criticism of the proposal. While our MP talks the talk, maybe he could consider having a word with his colleagues and bringing to their attention the strength of feeling in his constituency. It does seem that it is central government plans, announced in August with the mantra build, 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 which have thrown doubt on the future designation of hitherto greenfield sites. And that letter was from Gillian Russell, Oliver's Battery Road South, Winchester.
And Stuart Mariner writes about Royal Down. Sir, since I was born in Winchester in 1944, significant residential development has occurred at Stanmore, Winnall, Week, Hairstock, Tegdown, and more recently at Barton Farm. I suspect the earlier developments were community-inspired, whilst the later ones were led by landowners and developers. Some years ago, I attended a meeting at which the leading members of the then planning team offered their take on local issues. In answer to a request to outline their strategic vision for the city over the next 25 years, the chairman replied that they were struggling to deliver a phone mast in Barron Avenue so we could forget about strategic vision. It was simply not deliverable. So there we have it. If civic leaders are unable to fulfil their responsibilities to national and local planning needs, then they cannot complain if Mr. Russell and their team do it for them. Stuart Mariner, High Street, Pitton, Wiltshire.
This next letter is headed A Scandal. It's from Sally Jarman. Sir, read the government's proposal to build 5,000 houses, schools, etc. between Winchester and Hursley. This is not just a party political scheme. It would be a national scandal to build on this small slip of beautiful countryside and turn it into another suburban sprawl. No town planner would be forgiven for even considering it. And that's from Sally Jarman, Cheriton Close, Full Flood, Winchester.
And Margaret Higgins has a suggestion about window angels. Sir, as putting rainbows in the windows brought so much pleasure to children and adults on COVID, isolated walks around Winchester, the parishes of St Bartholomew's, St Lawrence and St Swithin are encouraging people to place an angel, picture or decoration, in a window of their home facing the street. It is hoped as many people as possible will join in to make winter walk more fun for little people and bring comfort and joy to everyone this Christmas tide. Margaret Higgins, Edgar Villas, Winchester.
This letter's from Ron Venturi, entitled Lock and Release. Sir, current evidence proves conclusively that a lockdown is effective in suppressing the virus spread. But the imminent three-tier approach has no clear evidence of success and instead has caused people to lose faith in the process and to look for ways to avoid, frustrate and ignore the rules. We need an effective combination of lockdown and release to remove all of the doubt and confusion and allow normal life to progress until we have a working vaccine. Would people accept a lockdown for the first 10 days of every month, followed by 20 or 21 days of business as usual with appropriate common sense distancing? We'd all know what was coming and could prepare accordingly, and these short, sharp breaks in transmission would prevent an exponential rise of cases and avoid NHS overload. And that's from Ron Venturi, Northview, Orams Arbour, Winchester.
And Simon Lever writes about a united front. Sir, there seems to be a very worrying trend in Winchester, that being attempts by either landowners, property developers and also an individual who, contrary to agreement on purchase, wishes to destroy the much-loved and indeed treasured water garden. One of the most dramatically damaging plans is to destroy the pristine natural countryside between Badger Farm, Oliver's Battery and Hursley by building 5,000 houses, Chronicle, November 19 and 26. Residents of Winchester and surrounding area adore the city and historical heritage and would never countenance such plans. Ultimately, Winchester City Council and Hampshire County Council must form a united front in representing the residents of Winchester. Nobody could possibly praise such ruinous plans. With regard to the water garden, I personally would be honoured to help others dedicated to its preservation trim the trees to ensure the sculpture is visible. Winchester is probably the best city in England to live. Let us not destroy such a gem. Simon Lever, Juniper Coast, Close, Badger Farm.
And this letter from Geraldine Buchanan is entitled Wrong Date, But Bridge Still Needed. And there's a picture of the inscription on the bridge, a city bridge in Winchester. And she says, Sir, thank you for publishing my letter last week supporting the idea of the need for a pedestrian bridge alongside the city bridge in Winchester and suggesting that the fading inscription about the building of the old bridge should be renewed. However, the date of the Grade 1 listed bridge is 1813, not 1821, so the bridge's 200th anniversary has been well and truly missed. This in no way affects the arguments for a much-needed pedestrian bridge and for the inscription on the old bridge to be renewed. I'd be very grateful if you can print the correction of the date. And that's Geraldine Buchanan, Elm Road, Full Flood, Winchester.
And Councillor Jane Rutter says, no hijack. Sir, it's truly shocking that Hampshire County Council is doing so little to address the real concerns that residents have with the speed and proven danger of the Andover Road following the death of a local resident earlier this year, and the big increase in people needing to cross the road. We would be abdicating our responsibility as locally elected councillors if we didn't do everything in our power to get that decision changed. Enthusiastic support for a community campaign should not be misconstrued as hijacking it, chronicled November 26th. At every point in the recent Focus special on Kings Barton, the petition being supported was referred to as the Residents Association Petition. Petitions, by their very nature, require people to have access to them and to sign them. That is what we were facilitating. The Lib Dems locally fully support the Residents Association petition and have done as much as we can do to encourage others locally to do so too. Councillor Jane Rutter, Liberal Democrat, editor, Worthy Focus Community Newspapers. And this is the editorial comment from the Hampshire Chronicle, and it headlined The End of the Lockdown for Now. The second lockdown is over and life is getting back to something like normal. Shops, pubs, restaurants, gyms and churches were able to open again yesterday, although often with tighter restrictions than before this recent lockdown. It's great to walk down the high street and see the premises open and doing business again. The nagging worry is that people will understandably want to blow off steam after a month of tight controls, and all the sacrifices in our freedom will be wasted. Then at some time in late January or February, we will again be back in a situation where the government has to impose a third lockdown, which would really be difficult to cope with. The COVID deniers will carry on complaining about this, all being an overreaction, but we will be right to ignore them again. If a third lockdown is needed, then so be it. We've gone too far to give up now. The vaccine cavalry is coming over the hill, and with it, the certainty that there is at last light at the end of the tunnel.
Thank you. This is now first person, and this comes from Joanna Lewis and is headed Silver Hill, the Panto. Fed up with hearing the line, these are extraordinary times. Longing for a return to how things used to be. Then rest assured, it's business as usual for the council's latest plans for Silver Hill. Dodgier than a leftover kebab. More rickety than a Reliant Robin. Roll up for an early Xmas panto. You've paid for it, dear readers, so pull up your seats, switch off your phones, and let the show begin. Perhaps more tragedy than panto, and scripted offstage by just one cabinet dame and a so-called head of place. Somewhere in the wings, engorged on ice cream, sit consultants, also known as strategic advisers, with a contract worth £2.5 million and all the £100,000 plus a year officers who appointed them. Never mind that we'd already paid for detailed plans worked out after a long public consultation, a sellout show, 3 years ago. The new officers wanted new consultants. But they've come up with a rehash of the sorry tale we all thought had come to an end when the judge brought the curtain down in the High Court in 2015. But we're tired, I hear you say. We're weary. We've already had to crack open the Christmas Baileys to get through November. And what's boarded up looks like the butthole of Belgarum. I'm afraid the genie's out of the lamp. Oh, yes, it is. You're being sold a con through a sham public consultation. Nothing you say will alter the council's current plan. We all applauded the original plan by JTP. That plan created streets of interest, buildings of typical Winchester scale, public spaces and a river walkway, a world-class museum, plus the exposure of historic streams and the archaeology that lies beneath. The latest plans are really not plans at all, with so little to actually see. There's plenty of words and promises, no shortage of those, but nothing you can hang a costume on or be certain that any developer, being given a blank page, will remember once they've got their foot in the stage door. For its part, so keen will the council be to get the money in and the parade and parade some gargantuan vanity project, it'll roll over and ask for a tummy tickle. Please, Lib Dems, can we have some more? Of course you can, darlings. It's Christmas all year round here. If this latest scheme goes ahead, the best can be said is that it could cut journey time from Winchester to Basingstoke by about 20 minutes. That's because central Winchester will just look like it. For that's the vision of those in charge. They were brought in from the council there, as were their urban despairscape chumocracy consultants. Meanwhile, the one councillor who turned whistleblower, the one who had the experience to help implement the publicly agreed scheme, was subjected to a campaign of harassment. This cost the taxpayer £200,000. Another seasonal giveaway of other people's money. Darkness descends, but in the wings a glimmer of light appears. It's the public chorus, the outrage of at attempts to despoil the water garden near the cathedral with an ugly house. Well done, Winchester. 1,000+ objections. The latest case of greed and contempt for the environment booed off stage. Now we must do the same for these backward steps for Silver Hill and for the grotesque proposal to link Hursley and Winchester with a small town. The absurdly misleading name Royal Down Garden Village represents rural Armageddon, a Hampshire landscape that would make Prince Charles weep. It's the nightmare of every sane person who gets why wildlife and the Greenbelt must be protected to give the grandchildren a living chance. So as you decorate your Christmas trees, and I wish you a joyful Yuletide, make a note for the new year. Not to pack away those big shiny balls. We're going to need them.
Lighting Up Time ends on Friday the 4th of December 2020 at 7:50 a.m. and begins at 4 p.m. On Wednesday the 9th of December, it ends at 7:57 a.m. and begins at 3:59 p.m.
And if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone Liz LeGrice on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. And now we continue with items of general news, and we're going to start with snippets from the sticks, short pieces of news from the parishes surrounding Winchester. And I will start with Alsford, Cheriton and Bishop Sutton. The charity behind the Christmas tree in Alsford has been boosted by a donation from a housing developer. McCarthy and Stone, who've built Wayfarer Place Retirement Living Plus development on the Dean, has donated £200 to the Alsford Pigs Association to become part sponsors of its Christmas tree project. The donation has helped to light up the large Christmas tree that's now sitting on Broad Street, and the funds have enabled the association to purchase additional twinkling Christmas lights. Kevin Burrows, chairman of the Alsford Christmas Tree Fund at the Pigs Association, said, We have been dedicated to financially supporting the local community for the past 40 years. This year has been full of unprecedented challenges, so we're dependent on the generosity of others now more than ever. We're truly thankful to have received this donation towards our Christmas tree project from the McCarthy and Stone team in Alsford. Nikki Bezvarich, marketing manager for McCarthy and Stone, said, "Christmas is a time when communities like Alsford really come into their own to celebrate. Whilst we're all still uncertain what Christmas will look like this year, we're pleased to be able to play a part in this year's festivities and hope the Christmas tree project will help to get everyone in the festive spirit." And in the same area, a virtual Christmas bazaar will be held in Kilmerston. There's information about the virtual stalls, cakes you can order and buy and raffle, and the raffle draw will be on Saturday, December the 12th at 12 noon at the bus shelter opposite the village hall. And the information is on www.kilmerston.org.uk, and look at Church and Friends of St Andrews. And also available that day will be a holly, mistletoe, walnuts, and hopefully one or two stalls will be having a car boot sale, and people will be able to collect the cakes they've ordered. Alsford Museum is looking ahead post-COVID. Subject to the restrictions, the museum aims to open for at least 2 weekend days a month from Easter 2021 until the end of September. But it depends on enough volunteers coming forward to act as stewards. As part of its work these last few months, the Town Trust has provided a refreshment and relaxation area for stewards. In the interim, the museum is offering group visits in return for a donation to museum funds, and a minimum of £2 per head.
It's fun. I've never read these before. The first lot from Twyford and Colden Common. A doctor in Colden Common has contacted the parish council regarding receiving an award at work and wanting to donate its value to the village to mark the COVID-19 period. The donation is worth £4,000. The doctor would like villagers to fundraise to match the donation, and the total value will be put towards trees and a new statue. This will be taken to the next meeting of the Recreation Committee. Also, a parish council in Colden Common is encouraging residents to build hedgehog homes. In a newsletter, a spokesperson said, "As we head deeper into autumn, we may feel like hibernating. However, getting out in the cold weather has many benefits to our mental health. Some species do have to hide away until the spring, though, and one of these are hedgehogs." In a blog post and video from the local countryside service ranger Lottie, it shows how to build the perfect haven to keep hedgehogs safe this winter. Colden Common will have the Rocking Around the Christmas Trail on December 19th. More information will be revealed soon. In Twyford, there'll be the Advent Calendar event, raising money for Twyford St Mary's School and Twyford Playgroup. This runs from December the 1st to the 14th. Organiser Joanne Everest said, "Christmas is going to be a little different this year, and whilst we may not be able to come together to celebrate, we are organising something that will bring us together in spirit. Scenes in Windows will become a traditional Advent calendar to raise money for the Twyford St Mary's School and for the Twyford Playgroup. Each day of December, one window will be revealed so that others can come to admire it. A map will be available to buy to join in the hunt for each day's window, with prizes to be won. Look out for posters telling you how to buy a map and join the hunt over the coming weeks." And now we go to Sparsholt, the Worthies, Easton, Littleton. Due to COVID-19, the Worthy players will not be able to present a live pantomime this year, but they have come up with a way to make sure people do not miss out. The group have produced a video with a shortened plot of Cinderella and a twist in its tale. Each performer acted all their lines individually, and the results were edited together. To watch the production, this is quite complicated, to watch the production, go to https://u2, that's YOUTU, all lowercase, u2.bbe/BE HUT, and then lowercase UF2A, and then uppercase CU. I'm not going to say all that again. You can contact the worthy players to find out that if you really want to. Homemade hampers and baskets are being produced to aid in aid of Itchen Abbas Primary School. The hampers include one of Jill the Jam's sought-after Christmas puddings and a selection of homemade preserves, including mincemeat, damson jam, quince jelly and spiced apple chutney. A basket is available for a minimum donation of £20 or £30. A hamper and all funds raised go to Itchen Abbas Parents Association. To get yours, contact Nikki Young on youngnikki@outlook.com. Young Nikki is all one word, and Nikki is spelt with double K, and it's all lowercase. youngnikki@outlook.com. People in the Itchen Valley are being asked to share their views on whether there is a demand for allotments to rent. During the pandemic, there has been an upsurge in people growing their own food, and whilst many in the valley have big enough gardens, it has been suggested that more residents would take up this worthwhile activity if there were local allotments for rent. To express your interest, email Councillor S. Percy at itchenvalleyparishcouncil.org.uk. And opportunities are coming up for allotments at Headbourneworthy. The allotments are on Springvale Road next to the Dower House, just next to the A34 overbridge. Although there are no vacancies at present, it is anticipated that there will be in the spring. If you're interested in renting a site, it's important to get your name down on the waiting list as soon as possible, because the allotments are allocated on a strictly first-come, first-served basis. Contact the Parish Council clerk at clerk@headbourneworthy.org.uk, and your details will be passed on to the organiser.
Well, that concludes the snippets from the sticks. Thanks to Tom and Vara for putting those together for us. And now we go back to the main pages of the newspaper. And the first item is headed, Listed Farmhouse Appears Under Threat. The growing campaign against plans for 5,000 homes near Winchester could well have another arrow in the quiver. It appears that if Royal Down comes to fruition, a Grade 2 listed house at Down Farm would be demolished. According to a map by Keep Architects, the site of the 18th century building would be used for education. Nick Russell, who owns the farm where both a primary and secondary school are planned, is believed to be behind the Royal Down scheme. He's yet to respond to the Chronicle's request for an interview. The farmhouse was listed in 1996. It's made from red brick in Flemish bond and has an extension in stretcher bond. Meanwhile, the City of Winchester Trust has joined the opposition to the scheme. Chairman Keith Lehman said, "This is not the first time that land in this area has been put forward by developers for housing. No doubt this area has been registered by the owner under the Scheller list, the S-H-E-L-A-A list. This is only a register of land that owners would be willing to sell for development, and not that the planning authority considers suitable. If this land were ever to be seriously considered for development and moved, for example, into the local plan, then the trust would very strongly object, as it forms part of the open countryside around Winchester, which is part of the city's highly treasured setting."
Thousands of domestic abuse arrests. More than 3,000 arrests were made for domestic abuse-related crimes in Hampshire during the first coronavirus lockdown, new figures reveal. With a fifth of all crime nationally during lockdown involving domestic abuse, Refuge said the problem is the biggest social issue facing women and girls today. Figures from Her Majesty's Inspector of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services show Hampshire Constabulary made 3,316 arrests for domestic abuse-related crimes between April and June, when the toughest national COVID-19 restrictions were imposed. There were also 201 voluntary attendances at police stations where a suspect agrees to meet officers at a station as an alternative to being arrested. Separate figures from the Office for National Statistics suggest domestic abuse crimes were already rising in Hampshire before the pandemic. In the year to March, 15% of all crimes in the area were linked to domestic abuse, 24,203, an increase on the 14% the year before. Refuge shared there was a general increase in demand for domestic abuse services at this time, and it continues to see peaks in demand 3 weeks into the second lockdown. Lisa King, spokeswoman at the charity Refuge, said, "It is important to remember that behind all of these statistics are a real woman and her experiences. These numbers refer to instances of physical violence, rape, sexual assault, emotional and psychological abuse, coercive control, FGM, forced marriage, and other forms of gender-based violence."
Demolition of a piece of the city's Victorian social history. Two Victorian buildings have been demolished for a new housing scheme near the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester. Imperial Homes is building 9 four-storey neo-Georgian townhouses on Romsey Road after Southern Health NHS Trust sold the site to the Curdridge-based developer. Imperial Director Ben Olds said, "Groundwork started this week and the expected completion is next summer." Planning permission for the demolition and rebuilding were granted in 2018. The demolition has been regretted by Winchester Heritage Open Days. On social media, it said that one of the buildings had played an important historic role. "We are shocked to see number 63 Romsey Road has gone. As many of you might know, for years it belonged to the NHS, but originally it was a home for female convicts in the last 6 months of their sentence. Known as the Carlisle Memorial Refuge, it was the initiative of Sir Walter Crofton, who lived nearby. The 4 red brick houses opened in 1865 and could accommodate up to 65 women at any one time. The aim was to break the cycle of reoffending by providing support and training in a caring environment before the women were discharged into employment. The day-to-day running of the home was overseen by Miss Eliza Pumphrey, and it was she that insisted on calling it a home and creating the caring environment. Her experiences in running the home led her to giving evidence to the Royal Commission of Inquiry into the working of Penal Servitude Act in 1878. By then, over 1,000 women had passed through the establishment, only 2 of whom had ever absconded, despite there being no locks on the doors. The establishment caught the attention of the great and good. Ruskin was a visitor. Her work may not seem very groundbreaking these days, but at the time it was quite an extraordinary thing for a woman to be allowed to give evidence to a royal commission." A spokesman for Southern Health said, "The services that we used to run from Connaught and Spencer House have relocated to Avalon House in Chesil Street. Avalon House provides a better patient environment as well as a more suitable accommodation. The relocation was fully supported by the clinical commissioning group." And there are 2 photographs, one showing the red brick houses, Connaught and Spencer House, which the photograph has come from Winchester Heritage Open Days. And there's a computer-generated image of what they will look like when they are redesigned into homes by Imperial Homes.
Here's a happy story. Marwell reopens in face of financial crisis. Marwell Zoo reopened yesterday and is urging families to support its vital conservation work by visiting this Christmas. The zoo has announced its larger-than-life toy brick adventure, Supersized, featuring a towering 3-metre tarantula and colourful kingfisher, will stay until February the 21st. The team has been busy spreading some festive cheer around the 140-acre zoo ahead of the reopening. As dusk falls, Grade 1 listed Marwell Hall will become a spectrum of Christmas colour, and children and adults will delight at glittering illuminations, including a fairy tale princess carriage and Santa's sleigh with flying reindeer. Plus, there are plenty of festive competitions for all the family, as well as a giant postbox to send letters to Father Christmas. Tickets for Wednesday, December the 2nd, Thursday, December the 3rd, and Friday, December the 4th went on sale on Monday, November the 30th. Tickets will then be released for sale 4 days ahead only. Zoo Chief Executive James Cretney said, "Even when the zoo is closed, our daily costs remain incredibly high, as the responsibility of looking after our animals to the highest standard does not change. So we are, of course, delighted that we can reopen this week. We're undoubtedly facing our toughest challenge in our nearly 50-year history. Since March, we've lost more than £4 million in revenue due to the pandemic, and each month it costs us more than £220,000 just to care for our resident animals. We are a charity, and our wider conservation work, both here and in the UK and overseas, also need to continue. Many people and projects depend upon us. The best way to support us is to come and visit us this winter. The zoo just isn't the same without the buzz of families making memories together, and we can't wait to welcome everyone soon. Marwell Zoo is a conservation charity, so simply by visiting, people will be giving something back this Christmas to ensure future generations can experience the joy of coming to the zoo and help amazing projects to conserve habitats and species in the UK and around the world. The 140-acre park is home to hundreds of endangered animals, such as curious meerkats, stunning snow leopards, towering Rothschild giraffe, and magnificent rhinos. Booking is essential, and there's a lovely photograph of my favourite, a Siberian tiger.
Itchen Valley Mansion sold. One of the Winchester District's grandest houses has been sold. Sarah Bullen, 65, has sold Avington Park, near Itchen Abbas, to a multi-millionaire hotel owner and is moving to the Test Valley. Her husband, Charlie Bullen, died in September, aged 79. Speaking to the Itchen Valley News and asked about the future of the 18th century house, Mrs. Bullen said, "I've loved living in the valley and I'm very sad to leave, but the time has come. I hope it stays as a family home, as we all loved growing up here." Her parents, Lieutenant Colonel John Hickson and Audrey, purchased the property in 1951, and Mrs. Bullen was born there in 1955. The mansion has been used as a wedding venue for many years, and much of it has been divided into privately let flats. The sale price has been undisclosed, but the 50-bedroom house is believed to have fetched an eight-figure sum.
COVID-19 cases continue to drop. The trend of coronavirus numbers to go down continues across the Winchester district. In the 7 days to Tuesday afternoon, there were 100 new cases compared to 152 in the 7 days beforehand. Across Hampshire, the equivalent numbers were 932 and 1,383. As Winchester and Hampshire came out of the lockdown yesterday, the numbers were similar to those of 6-8 weeks ago, before the second lockdown. In Alresford, previously a hotspot that saw the closure of Perrin Secondary School, there were only 10 new cases in the 7 days to Thursday, November 26th, a fall of 35 or 77.8%, taking the rolling rate of 118.2 per 100,000 people to below the England average after several days of being well above it. Perrin's was due to reopen today. That's yesterday. The decline is yet to be reflected in the numbers of COVID patients in local hospitals. Latest figures are 69 at Basingstoke in Northampshire and 39 at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital. The figure of 108 is exactly the same as last week. Then there were 54 at each hospital. The currently worst affected area in the Winchester district remains Winchester East, which comprises Winnall, Highcliffe, Bar End, Wharf Hill and parts of the city centre. In the 7 days to November 25th, there have been 12 cases, a 14.3% drop, or a rolling number of 147.3 per 100,000, still above the England average. For clarity, Winchester District comprises more than the built-up city and is the council area which stretches from Micheldever in the north to Southwark in the south, from Sparsholt in the west to Bramdean in the east. Meanwhile, 31 people are reported to have died in Hampshire of COVID-19 in the last 7 days to Tuesday. The death toll in the county council area was 869, up from 838. Figures published by NHS England show that over the last week, 8 people are reported to have died in the area covered by Hampshire Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, which includes Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester. Since the start of the pandemic, there have been a total of 746 deaths in the NHS across Hampshire, up 25 on the week. The numbers of people in hospitals remains high, as there will be a time gap before the reduced infection rates are reflected in patient numbers. On Friday, the latest day for which figures are available, there were 124 COVID admissions at hospitals across the southeast, including Hampshire. There are 1,265 COVID patients on Sunday and 111 on ventilators. University students are heading home for Christmas, but it was unclear if Winchester University was taking part in the government's mass testing scheme. The Chronicle asked the university and a reply is waited.
Fears over insolvencies. Businesses in Winchester are being warned of difficult months ahead by R3, the trade body for restructuring and insolvency professionals. It says concerns are mounting that a wave of business closures could be on the horizon in the first months of 2021. The comments come after the publication of October insolvency figures for England and Wales. The government statistics from the Insolvency Service revealed that corporate insolvencies fell slightly on September 2020 and were sharply down on October 2019. Personal insolvencies were up on both the month and the year before. Gary Lee, chairman of R3's Southern and Thames Valley region, said, "The continued low levels of corporate insolvency can once again be traced back to high levels of government support and widespread creditor forbearance, both compelled and voluntary. With these numbers still far below their pre-pandemic levels, worries are mounting within the profession that a wave of business closures could be on the horizon. Gravity cannot be defied forever, with temporary measures stopping creditor enforcement actions against debtors due to expire at the end of the year, the first few months of 2021 could turn out to be difficult ones for businesses in Winchester, which have built up arrears with landlords, suppliers, or HMRC. Gary also warned that the lockdown and reduced Christmas spending could have an impact. He said, even with the announcement that furlough will be extended until the end of March, job losses are mounting and many people are entering the run-up to Christmas in a precarious financial position. With constraints on usual levels of pre-Christmas spending, there's danger that reduced consumer outlay, exacerbated by personal financial uncertainty, leads to more pain for businesses who will be forced to consider more redundancies in a vicious circle effect. Debt problems can quickly turn from a snowball to an avalanche.
Christmas with a twist at hospital. Christmas at Winchester Hospital will be a little different this year, as health chiefs have put a ban on decorations, but festive joy will not be lost entirely. As staff at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital continue to fight COVID-19, Hampshire hospitals have stopped Christmas decorations from being put up inside the buildings. The move has been due to strict rules about COVID infection control on the Romsey Road site. Following a plea from Chief Executive Alex Whitfield, donations are being sought for decorations that can be used outside the building and its grounds. It is hoped that this will give a festive boost to staff and patients. Ms. Whitfield said, "We always have great support from the community over Christmas. We can't decorate the inside of the hospital for Christmas this year because we need to absolutely minimise any infection risks. So it is wonderful that the Winchester community is offering to help with decorating the outside. No donation is too small." The appeal is being coordinated by Winchester Magazine, so if you have any surplus decorations from this year or last, contact Liz, that's L-I-Z, lowercase, at winchestermag.com, or give directly to the hospital's main reception and ask for Lynn Ethorne Long.
Steam train buff, chuffed to reach 100. Derek Hatton, a resident at Sunrise of Winchester, has celebrated his 100th birthday. Derek celebrated this remarkable milestone in the company of his daughter, two grandsons and granddaughter, who visited the care home wearing PPE and adhering to social distancing guidelines. He also spoke to all of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren through FaceTime, where they were able to sing happy birthday to him. Sunrise of Winchester on Stockbridge Road also marked the occasion by baking a personalised, train-inspired birthday cake, recognising Derek's passionate interest in steam trains. With 14 grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Derek said he was quite overwhelmed by the outpouring of cards and well wishes from friends and family. He was also especially pleased to have received a birthday card from the Queen. Since moving to Sunrise of Winchester in September 2019, he's been a big character at the care home and has made many friends. He also takes part in numerous activities, including completing 30-minute sessions on the care home's exercise bike. He says that he loves living at Sunrise of Winchester due to the dedication of team members and the family atmosphere throughout the home. Before joining Sunrise of Winchester, Derek served in the Royal Air Force and also worked as a civil engineer before retiring to pursue his love of steam trains. Asked what his secret to living a long life is, Derek said, "A little luck and keeping active." And there's a lovely picture of him sitting with a cup of tea and smiling with hundreds of cards around him, all marked 100, of course, and some flowers and balloons. And I assume that's in his room at Sunrise, with lots of books on bookshelves in the background. Obviously a very happy man.
Planting trees across the Downs. More than 8,000 trees are being planted across the South Downs this winter after the Trees for the Downs campaign smashed its fundraising target. Thanks to a grant of £75,000 from South East Water, Trees for the Downs will continue for the next 5 years, planting tens of thousands of trees. The campaign was launched during the National Tree Week last November and has so far raised over £65,000. The initiative was launched by the South Downs National Park Trust to restore trees that have been lost over the past few decades, including those to Dutch ash dieback and Dutch elm disease. Trees for the Downs was only set to run for 1 year, but the additional funding and support of South East Water, on top of the £65,000, means the campaign can continue for 5 years. Significant tree planting will now take place over subsequent winters at sites across the region, bringing new habitat for wildlife, helping to restore soils. The very first tree of the campaign, a field maple, was planted by TV presenter Nicky Chapman at Hamilton Farm at Beauworth near Alsford during recent filming for Escape to the Country. Nick Heesman, countryside and policy manager who heads the National Parks Woodlands team, said, "We've been very encouraged by the support for Trees for the Downs, and for the campaign has just snowballed. This additional funding from South East Water is a great boost and means we can continue to plant trees potentially for the next 5 years. Trees are part of the rich tapestry of features that make the South Downs landscape so special. They're also cornerstones for any ecosystem, and that means by planting more trees in the right place, we're helping nature recovery, improving the quality of the soil, and helping to mitigate against climate change. We're looking forward to getting these trees in the ground over the winter and watching them develop over the coming years. It's exciting to know we will be planting many more in the years ahead." South East Water will be giving £15,000 every year until 2025 for new tree planting. Richard Dyer, biodiversity manager from South East Water, said, "Protecting and enhancing the natural environment is one of our highest priorities. That's why we're so pleased to be supporting Trees for the Downs. As significant landowners, we look after 33 sites which are within Sites of Special Scientific Interest, SSSIs, a National Nature Reserve, two nature reserves, and numerous sites within areas of outstanding national beauty." Julie Fawcett, chairman of the South Downs National Park Trust, which is the official independent charity of the National Park, said, "We want to thank everyone who donated over the past year. The support of South East Water is a huge boost, and as well as securing enough funding for at least another 8,500 trees, on top of those we're already planting, it also means that the fundraising drive for Trees for the Downs can continue in earnest, and we can potentially top up this amount. Trees for the Downs is a planting native species. Sorry, I'll say that again. Trees for the Downs is planting native species, including black poplar, oak, field maple and disease-resistant elms pioneered by Hillier."
Open space up for sale after developer goes bust. The liquidation of a building company has raised concerns about Badger Farm green space. Davis Developments, which owns a string of undeveloped plots, has gone bankrupt and its liquidator has ordered the sale of sites, including the park off Barley Down Drive. It's currently up for £5,000 on Rightmove, but a local city councillor is battling to keep it as a space for residents. Councillor Brian Laming told the Chronicle, "This site was never developed because of the planning policies. It's been an historic problem for developers. This sale is causing upset among residents, and we want to keep it as a public amenity. People use it for all sorts of things, like kicking a ball about and walking the dog." Councillor Laming also said the City Council's legal department is looking into the sale. "We're all doing our jobs to try and keep this valuable land," he added. A council spokeswoman said, "We are aware the open space land is for sale and we're looking into how best we're able to protect the open spaces around the Badger Farm estate." And there's a picture of the play area between Barley Down Drive and Loudon Close. And it's a lovely big open area with play apparatus for children, obviously very much enjoyed by the residents.
Farmers set to record birds on their land. Organisers of the Big Farmland Bird Count are asking the country's land managers to spend 30 minutes recording the farmland birds they see on their land. The annual count, run by the Fordingbridge-based Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust, GWCT, is scheduled for February 5 to the 14th, 2021. With 71% of Britain's countryside looked after by farmers, land managers and gamekeepers, they are crucial to ensuring the survival of cherished bird species like skylarks, yellowhammers, corn buntings and wild grey partridges, says Dr. Roger Draycott, organiser and head of advisory services to the GWCT. Many of them are already doing fantastic work to support and conserve our native species, including supplementary feeding through winter and growing crops specifically to provide seeds for birds, which often goes unrecognised. The Big Farmland Bird Count gives them a chance to see the results of their efforts and provides a crucial national snapshot of the health of the UK's farmland birds. Crucially, the nationwide Citizen Science Project helps show which farmland birds are benefiting from conservation efforts while identifying the species most in need of help. Despite the pandemic and poor weather, 2020's Big Farmland Bird Count saw record numbers taking part. Over 1,500 participants recorded more than 120 species.
New building at the city prison. Plans for a new facility at Winchester Prison have been submitted. If approved, the building will be used as a care and separation unit. This will provide a suitable safe environment for inmates and prison guards. The three temporary cabins that are currently used for the same purpose will be demolished. According to the plan submitted by Rhys Thorner on behalf of the prison, the first floor will feature support facilities for staff, a supervised custodial area, cells, toilets, maintenance access stairs, a servery, plant rooms and an exercise yard. The second floor will feature the same and the third will have maintenance access stairs and plant rooms. In a letter of pre-application advice, City Council Planning Officer Liz Marsden said, "The building is required in order to improve the facilities of the existing prison and could be accommodated in the location shown without undue impact on the character and appearance of the surrounding area or the amenities of neighbouring properties. An application along these lines is therefore likely to be recommended favourably." HMP Winchester was built in 1846 and is typical of the Victorian prison designs, with five wings from a central point. It's a Category B prison that serves the local courts with a capacity of 685 and a small 129-bed Category C resettlement unit. The buildings sited at HMP Winchester are typically red brick facades, including the main prison building, the new regeneration kitchen and other ancillary buildings. The southern part of the complex is located in Winchester Conservation Area. However, the applicant believes there should be no increased impact on the conservation area caused by the new building. a developer, Imperial Homes, has permission to build a number of large townhouses on Romsey Road near the entrance to the prison.
Inner Wheel boosts hospice appeal. A significant show of support from Inner Wheel Club of Winchester members has delivered a festive boost to the city hospice fundraising. Club members provided the latest demonstration of their fundraising power by donating £2,500 to the £3.7 million campaign that will get Winchester Hospice open in summer 2021. Maureen Chisnell from the Inner Wheel Club of Winchester said the £2,500 represented money raised through various fundraising activities over the past 12 months, supplemented by contributions from individual Inner Wheel members. Nick Vaughan, Winchester Hospice Fundraising Appeal Charity Chairman of Trustees, said, "Thank you to the Inner Wheel Club members for their great support. Community backing like this has played a key role in helping us to pass the 90% milestone as we seek to raise the £3.7 million needed to get the hospice open." The Winchester Club has been active since 1936 and currently has 30 members. Inner Wheel internationally is the largest women's service organisation in the world, with over 100,000 members supporting local communities in more than 100 countries. Winchester Hospice will be run by Hampshire Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust. Its palliative care team have been a driving force behind the project, as they know how important it is to have a local hospice facility.
Test and trace numbers fall in the county. Hampshire's COVID contact tracing success rate has fallen for a second week amid a record number of new positive cases. According to the latest data from the Department of Health and Social Care, 11,362 people who tested positive for COVID-19 in Hampshire were transferred to the test and trace service between May the 28th and November the 18th. That means 2,397 new cases were transferred in the latest 7-day period, the largest increase since the regime began in May. Contact tracers ask new patients to give details for anyone they were in close contact with in the 48 hours before their symptoms started. This led to 28,908 close contacts being identified over the period, those not managed by local health protection teams, which are dealt with through a call centre or online. But just 66% were reached, down from 66.8% at the start of the scheme to November the 4th, and 66.8% by November the 11th.
Stay away. Winchester Golf Club is asking the public to stay off the course now the lockdown has lifted. Golf returned to the Royal Winchester from yesterday. In a letter to nearby residents, Lynn Pothecary, assistant manager, said, "I hope you have enjoyed taking your daily exercise on the golf course. We would like to thank the vast majority of you for the care and consideration that you have taken on our property. Following the announcement from our Prime Minister on Monday, we will be returning to golf on Wednesday the 2nd of December. Our on-course preparations are now well underway. With the presence of active golfers and on-course machinery, in the interests of everybody's safety, we must now ask that you stay off the golf course and keep to the bridleway."
The lorry park plans for the A31. Detailed plans for a lorry park capable of checking 235 vehicles a day, designed to prevent border chaos following Brexit, have been published. It emerged last year that a lorry park was to open on the A31 between Winchester and Alresford to hold HGVs in case of delays at Portsmouth International Port. Nearby residents say they've had no communication from civic chiefs about the plan, which is causing stress and anxiety. Information has now surfaced on how the facility will work once the UK leaves the EU. From December the 29th, the lorry park will be a short-stay triage point, capable of checking up to 235 lorries to ensure all EU-bound freight has the correct border-ready paperwork in place. Signs along the M25 will ask drivers to travel along the M3 to get there. A 5-kilometre stretch of the eastbound carriageway of the A31 will run as a contraflow to take both east and westbound traffic, while the westbound carriageway will be used to check freight. The work has been carried out as part of the multi-agency Operation Transmission to reduce the risk of severe traffic delays at Portsmouth International Port and on surrounding roads. The speed limit will be reduced to 30 miles an hour for all traffic. Neil Odin, chair of the Local Resilience Forum, said, "The projections shared with us clearly show that if we do nothing, the changes to checks at the border would cause a traffic queue very quickly on the M275 and the surrounding area. This would be bad news for many communities, businesses and road users across Hampshire. Our plans include short-stay triage points at carefully chosen locations and early engagement with hauliers to help them be border-ready and have benefited greatly from the input of our local government experts. There will still be some impact, but our plans are necessary and designed to reduce the risk as much as possible." Preparatory engineering work on the A31 was completed in 2019, which included the installation of two hardened central crossover points near the Ladycroft and Percy Hobbs roundabouts. These crossovers are new short sections of carriageway that have been constructed across the central grass verge to allow traffic to move safely from the westbound lane to the eastbound lane when a full contraflow is in place. The crossovers, whilst initially being used for the Operation Transmission Plan, will also be useful for future traffic management to facilitate highway maintenance operations on this stretch of the A31, avoiding the need for lengthy and disruptive road closures. But the plan has sparked criticism from some living nearby, including residents off the A31. In a letter to the Local Resilience Forum, resident Christina Fernley said, "We at Ors Meadow on the Alsford Road will be affected directly and negatively by the HGV park. A road which has many businesses and private households along its length. Here at Ors Meadow, a group of 8 households on the A31 who will be subjected to regular noise, litter and light pollution. These plans, in their lack of clarity and concern for local residents, are causing much stress and anxiety. We have had, as usual, no direct contact about this stage of the plan from either the County Council, the Resilience Forum or Hampshire Highways."
Awards finalists to be revealed. The Winchester Business Excellence Awards nears its climax next week, when the finalists will be announced on December the 10th. The awards have been running for 18 years, recognising the achievements of local businesses and celebrating success. The competition is organised by Winchester Business Improvement District, Hampshire Chamber of Commerce and the Hampshire Chronicle. It has long been recognised as a key date in the business calendar of the district, highlighting best practice with the awards ceremony, a chance for business people to mingle and network. This year there have been more than 100 entries, an increase on 2019. The categories are Business of the Year, chosen from the shortlisted businesses in each award category, Business Leader Award, Young Business Person Award, Social Enterprise or Charity Award, Large Business Award, SME or Independent Business Award for a company with fewer than 15 FTE employees, New Business Award for companies under 2 years, Digital Innovation Award, Sustainable Business Award, Service Excellent Award. The Chronicle editor Bill Brown said, "It's been a year when businesses have been tested to the limit, but what's clear is that there are still many excellent small, medium and larger enterprises in the region who are doing great things both in the marketplace and for their customers and staff."
Digger is used to destroy skate park. A digger taken from a nearby construction site has been used to vandalise a skate park. The popular Free Space skate park in Chalmers Ford is said to have been damaged at around midnight on Sunday, November the 22nd. Eastleigh Borough Council said the vandals stole a digger from the nearby village hotel development before causing considerable damage and destruction. Police were called to the incident at 10:22 a.m. the following morning. Chairman of Eastleigh Local Area Committee, Councillor Tina Campbell, said, This is an appalling act of mindless vandalism that has ruined this popular skate park that will now have to remain closed for some time. It could also result in a significant repair bill for local taxpayers of between £50 and £100,000. I would strongly urge anyone who witnessed or has any information about this incident to please contact the police on 101 or contact the council on 02380 688 000. Alan Dowden, Hampshire County Councillor and local resident, said, "It hurts when I see these individuals that are causing this sort of distress to everyone and damaging their own facilities. The police numbers are too few, and until we get more community policing, I can't see issues like this being resolved. The Borough Council has now closed the facility and the digger has been removed. Work is now set to start on repairing and restoring the community skate park." A spokesperson said, "The digger is suspected to have been stolen from a construction site on Bournemouth Road." And there's a picture of the digger inside the well of the skate park, although half of it is still trapped on the sort of cliff edge of it. And clearly it's done some damage on the way out because there's several lumps of concrete and rock around underneath the digger itself.
Mm. Littleton stalwart takes 1,000th wicket. Littleton and West Hill stalwart Chris Tee won't bowl a cricket ball in anger for another 5 months or so. But as the long winter nights rapidly draw in, he's every reason to reflect with a warm glow on the bowling milestone he achieved this last shortened summer. Bowling his left-arm swingers, the youthful 60-year-old chalked up his 1,000th wicket in Winchester club cricket, the magical 1,000th victim being celebrated against Ashford Hill in mid-September. Remarkably, Chris has kept a record of every match he has played in since making his debut as a 13-year-old for Sparsholt in 1973, after which he had a short spell with St Cross Simondians, and since 2002 with Littleton and West Hill, where he combines his bowling duties with that of vice chairman and secretary. In a successful career, he took 475 wickets in 15 summers at Sparsholt, and after 10 years working abroad, returned to Winchester and bagged another 129 victims in a four-year stint playing for the third and fourth teams at St Cross. Since joining Littleton and West Hill in 2002, I've taken 401 wickets, so I had cause for a double celebration at the end of the season, by which I had 1,005 victims to my name, he smiled. T was at Peter Simmons Grammar School when he took to cricket, and after, under the watchful eye of John Player, helped the Winchester team with the Hampshire School's C.A. Altham Trophy at Northfields Road in 1978, his final year there.
Fathers fundraising for suicide charity. At the beginning of the year, Tim Davies' eldest son took his own life. Now the Winchester resident is striving to raise £100,000 for suicide prevention, as well as respite care for families in a similar position. George Davies was just 28 years old when he died, and in his memory, Tim will donate £70,000 to the suicide prevention charity Papyrus, which also runs the Hopeline helpline. With the remaining £30,000, he will provide people who have lost a family member to mental health with escape days on the Solent. Tim, managing director at Avro Yachting Limited, will take them sailing. He told the Chronicle, "While writing to particular friends who loved George and with whom he sailed a lot, they crept up on me, so I stopped, drew breath and drove my mind to that happy place and was again able to focus on what I was saying while the words on the screen regained their focus as I got on top of the emotion welling inside of me. My brother also took his own life 22 years ago, the night before my birthday, and I'm reminded every year of suicide's ever too often permanent conclusion." Tim has so far raised more than £16,000. He said, "I'm not going to fail. Charlie, his younger brother, and I would like to help others who've experienced such a loss, but equally importantly, to try and prevent young suicide in the first instance by donating a large cash sum prior to the first anniversary of his death to Papyrus."
Stroke Club donation to appeal. Marigold Paul recently presented a cheque for £600 to the Winchester Hospice Appeal Fund on behalf of the Winchester Stroke Club. The ceremony was held outside the front entrance to the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, where 30 years earlier Marigold had nursed stroke survivors in Butterfield Ward. She set up the club in 1986. The donation represents monies saved by members who wished it to be given in memory of the club's former member and treasurer, June Mums, who died last year. June's son, Paul, was also present and unexpectedly and generously presented a further cheque of £400 in memory of his mother, thereby increasing the total donation to £1,000.
Cattle boost biodiversity on the Downs. They weigh around half a ton, eat a lot of grass, and they're quietly boosting biodiversity at a beauty spot on the edge of Winchester. Four British white cattle are currently grazing White Chute Ridge near Badger Farm in a joint project between the City Council and Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust. The cows keep scrub and coarse grass under control, and insects from their dung are an important food source for bats and birds. Gradually, their presence is improving the habitat. White Chute Ridge is one of the few remaining chalk downlands in Hampshire that have not been turned over to arable farming. For centuries, the downlands were grazed by sheep until the middle of the 20th century, when they were turned over to arable farming. The cattle also graze other nearby Wildlife Trust sites, including St Catherine's Hill and Hockley Farm. They're hardy and docile, important to an area that is popular with dog walkers and families. And there's a couple of lovely pictures, one of the cattle on White Chute Ridge enjoying their grazing, and one of the sign that is has been pinned on the gateway to the area saying conservation grazing at White Chute Ridge, and it just explains what you can expect when you cross the area.
DIY Christmas trees brighten streets. Who said that all Winter Wonderland events are cancelled this year? Weak residents are making their own by building wooden Christmas trees and erecting them in their front gardens. Those who live at the Berwick Avenue end of Westmond Road began work on November the 21st. Claire Nichols told the Chronicle, "This is to bring a bit of festive cheer to those who pass by. The idea started with five households who used to bring a glass of wine out to the front of their houses and clap for key workers every Thursday. We had a socially distant VE Day tea party with food, music and decorated tables and outfits, and the idea is now spreading down the road. There are now at least 10 houses collecting pallets. We've been outside the front of our houses with tools, paintbrushes, festive jumpers, music and mayhem to create our own, very own winter wonderland." And there are lots of pictures of the wooden trees, which are from wooden pallets, and they've been put together and decorated, and they've got big noses and Christmas hats and lots of scarves and buttons, and they look very fun.
That sounds like fun. Civic Chiefs boost for mental health. Winchester City Council will be bolstering its mental health support for residents. A group of councillors put forward the idea for a new panel to regulate, expand upon and better the services already offered. The scrutiny committee last Tuesday agreed the proposal. Writing on a suggestion form, councillors Caroline Brooke, Angela Clear and Anne Weir said, "COVID-19 lockdowns and anxieties have further exposed the serious gaps which have existed for many years in the provision and accessibility to support for people and residents experiencing problems with their mental health access across Winchester District." Excuse me. For many, assessment and access to free services are a postcode lottery. Services for those with moderate to severe problems, and for young people in particular, are wholly under-resourced. The only support available at the time of need, more often than not, being privately paid for, largely unregulated, independent practitioners. The committee decided that the new panel will comprise three city councillors. They will work with the county council, parish councils, local experts and city council officers to ensure all residents get the help they need. Councillor Brooks suggested that the panel should work with Winchester's council housing team. She said that some residents suffer mentally because of looming rent arrears or council tax payments, and that the council should be more alive to the problems this pressure causes. So that concludes the extracts for this week. So thanks to our copying, dispatch and studio preparation teams. Thanks, of course, to Vara and Tom Williams, who should have been here reading, but due to a major computer problem, they're not. And thanks, of course, to Noel Thorpe Tracy, who came in to copy and has ended up reading with me. So it's goodbye from Noel.
Goodbye.
And from me, Keith Vinson, goodbye, and do enjoy the week ahead. And please post your memory sticks back as soon as possible in the yellow wallet, not forgetting to put the address label inside. Thank you.